I picture Jesus on the cusp of his public ministry reading the gospel lesson this morning. He's feeling pretty empowered. You know, a little crack in the neck. All right. You know, he's plunging out of the river. He's ready to go from his baptism. And God's affirming word, following the Spirit. And he's hopeful. He's confident of his divine purpose. And more especially, you know, he's just coming out of the river. He's ready to get to work. He's ready to go. Right? So listen to that this morning. The gospel lesson this morning is in chapter 4 of the Gospel of Matthew. It starts on page 1499 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. The temptation of Jesus. But before we hear the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer. I'll ask that you say it together. O Lord, may the words of your mouth be our daily bread, and may the leading of your Spirit become our way. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you. All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God indeed. Like I said, without hesitation, I imagine Jesus bounding after the Spirit into the wilderness. And at this point, Jesus does pause and kind of look around. And note the less than hospitable surroundings and think, well, that wasn't what I was thinking. That wasn't what I expected. But hey, surely the Spirit knows the best way to go. So, okay. All right. And then we get to the next verb in the sentence. Tempted. Tempted. I suppose Jesus' awareness of this next part of the plot is limited. Maybe he thinks this wilderness trek is merely the shortest way to town where, you know, things will really get started for my preaching and my teaching and my healing. I mean, how's he feeling at this point in his journey? And then the next thing you know, the devil shows up. I mean, you can also almost hear this, kind of John Williams music, this Star Trek or you know, theme song, sinister music coming to a crescendo at this time as the tempter makes that first pitch to derail Jesus of his holy vocation. Every first Sunday of Lent, I get reminded of the perils of our baptismal calling. The Spirit descends, God speaks, and then almost immediately, before we're even dried off, and the devil makes a counteroffer. Wouldn't you prefer a shortcut? Shortcut to resources and power? Don't you want to be affirmed by the masses, afforded, you know, status, special treatment? Doesn't it guarantee of no pain or suffering? Man, doesn't that sound good? Beloved child of God, God is good, but invincibility and limitless wealth, isn't that much better? I mean, who's your buddy? Who's your pal? I once had a mentor who said that to expect pushback from unexpected orders when you start down a path you believe to be God's leading. Doing the work of God attracts the attention of the devil, she said. Jesus, we know, does not give in to temptation. Firing back scripture to the evil one well-versed in the word of God, even famished after 40 days of fasting, Jesus turns his back to the tempter's wares. We do not live by bread alone, but by the word that comes from the mouth of God. Sounds so lovely, and yet a little far-fetched in the face of Jesus's and the world's real hunger. Do not put the Lord, your God, to the test. Sound advice, right? But how often are we consciously testing God? Aren't we normally oblivious to the myriad of ways we try God through our daily inability to trust God's providence and promises? Worship the Lord, your God, and serve only God. Okay. Of course. And we know this basic and primary rule of faith. Idolatry is out. Loyalty to God and God alone. That's the goal. And yet, how often does our life reflect this first commandment? Jesus gets it right, and we're not surprised. We read in the fourth chapter of in Hebrews that Jesus, in every respect, has been tested as we are, yet without sin. That last part of the sentence, that's really significant. Setting Jesus apart in a way to which we can't relate. And yet, we ought to take solace in knowing Jesus experienced hunger and pain and loss, and grief, and even the urge to do and be less than who he really was. His ability to withstand temptation does not negate his experience of standing face to face with evil and all its seemingly glorious offerings. As we stand at the beginning of Lent, this season of Lent calls for an honest assessment of ourselves and our discipleship. We can linger a while in the wilderness with Jesus, watching as he responds to the devil, affirming that God's word is meant for good, refusing to surrender to lesser loyalties and enduring real hunger, real deprivation, real temptation in order to aid us in our real suffering. This story of Jesus and Satan in the wilderness allows us to hold nothing back from our confession and our lament. Jesus knows our pain and empathizes with our weakness. This wilderness before the ministry scene shows his followers that Jesus will stand and face with us during our biggest mistakes, our greatest losses, our gravest fears, our most devastating disappointments. After all, he endured the devil and prevailed. I've come to view the liturgical season of Lent not only as a time of confession and repentance, but also an invitation to lay bare to our Lord all that we must want to hide from God, ourselves, and others. I need to know Jesus can handle my shame and my guilt, my sometimes largeness, and my anxieties, my dashed dreams, and my secret fears. I need to know Jesus is with me utterly, completely, unequivocally in the most terrifying wilderness of my life. I need to know that when I give in to temptation, Jesus will, in fact, deliver me from the evil he survived and defeated. Confident that indeed the grace of God abounds for many, for everyone, knowing that through Jesus' act of righteousness, I am justified. I can therefore pour out my heart and hold nothing back from the one who defeated the devil in the wilderness and evil on the cross. As we embark on our Lenten discipline, as we confess and we repent, as we cuss and we fuss with each other and ourselves, friends, we can find comfort and strength and the sure and certain knowledge that the Word of God will nourish us. The power of God will uphold us, and the worship of God will strengthen and direct us. No less than Jesus himself will remain with us throughout these 40 days, praying for us, tending to us, standing with us when we stand up to evil, and forgiving us when we succumb to the devil's temptations. Christ be with us. Christ be with us indeed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.